Okay, so we'll wind things down here today. Try to finish up some situation things on the Jets and head down there, be ready to go on Sunday. So, another division game on the road. Looking forward to it.
Bill, as you've worked this week in practice on the communication without Gerard, how have you felt that has gone?
We'll see on Sunday. We don't know what they're going to do, so it's things that we'll just have to see how it works out. They give you a lot of different looks anyway, especially when they go through their script at the beginning of the game. So we'll see how we handle the whole situation.
Have you tried to simulate it in practice?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, sure,
how is that?
Practice is practice. Some things are good. Some things we need to correct, like normal in practice. But we'll find out where we are on a lot of things on Sunday.
Well, there's a report that Drew Rosenhaus says Rob's been medically cleared. Do you have any comment on that?
We'll list the injuries at the end of the day, like we always do on Friday.
We on Wednesday we asked you with Vince and Gerard, not the two captains, not being on their on season ending injury reserve now, if maybe you would elevate someone up as a captain. Has anything happened along those lines at this point?
Nothing that we would announce, no.
Specific on Rob, did he get a black jersey for last week, practice player of the week? Gronkowski?
I think he did. Yeah, he worked Graham. Worked Graham in practice. Mm-hmm.
Well, how does Dane Fletcher look this year? Obviously, more of a special teams, a huge role defensively yet, but coming off his injury last year, and I don't know how long it took him to really get back into that, true game shape. But where is he at right now, and is he at a point where he could maybe handle a bigger defensive workload if need be?
Yeah, I think Dane's had a real good year. And, unfortunately, Dane got hurt in the first preseason game last year, but the good thing about that was it was early enough so that even by the end of the season – last year he was, well on his way, onto the rehab and recovery. And then when we started OTAs, he was full go there. So he really hasn't missed anything all year. He's from the first day of OTAs, well, the entire off-season program for that matter, but all the OTAs and then training camp, he's been, a full participant and has been very productive in all the roles, really, that he's been in, both in the kicking game and, as you said, some of the things defensively, with not as much playing time, but the playing time that he did have in preseason, he did a good job with. He's played a number of different positions for us. I think his overall understanding and experience in our defensive system has helped him. It's helped us, and he's a more versatile player as well as a more productive player in the positions that he does play, but he also plays more of them. And he's really done a good job for us in the kicking game. With Matt Slater out here for the past few weeks, Dane's really not only stepped up his performance, but also he's given us good leadership and communication on the field. So he's really done a good job for us this year. Couldn't say enough good things about Dane. I mean, really, he worked very hard last year during the season in his rehab to put himself in position to be ready to go this year. So it's been a lot of hard work on his end, and I think it's really paid off.
Bill, in a situation like with Akib last weekend when he goes out of the game, what goes into the decision of maybe moving Devin over and having to put somebody else in Devin's spot and rotating guys around, or the option of keeping Devin where he is and putting somebody else on the corner? In other words.
Yeah, no, I understand. Right. But really, that's something we handle during the week. I don't think you want to get into the game and then start, what are we going to do now? You go through that during the week, and you talk to each player about their responsibilities, what they have for the game, who's backing up who, who's in what personnel grouping, and so forth. And then you practice it that way, and there's plays in practice where the right corner's out, the left corner's out, the left safety's out, the right safety's out, the middle linebacker's out. We take those guys out, then somebody else either moves or we substitute for them, or, whatever we do. The problem usually comes in on any team. If you lose two people at one position, then that's where it starts. The wheel starts spinning pretty fast usually. So if you lose two of anything, two quarterbacks, two running backs, two tackles, two linebackers, two corners, two of anything, you nobody's really got much depth to be able to handle that, or it would be rare. Maybe you could handle it in one or two positions, but you wouldn't be able to handle it across the board without some, you'd have to move quickly. So in practice, the one position move I won't say it's easy, but I think that's something that you go through as normal procedure. It's that second move that you've got to be prepared for, but it's hard to have enough depth, like I said, at every position to back every position up with two people. You've got to be able to do it, but that's a little bit more of a scream.
In your history, how does that dynamic change when it happens during the game as opposed to during the week when you have a 3 days of practice to prepare?
Well, it's always easier to prepare if you know what it's going to be, and that happens, again, frequently going into the game. You have, two or three players that are, questionable for the game. A lot of times you don't know that decision until game time, so you prepare with them, you prepare without them. And then once it's determined, then, you know what you're doing. If you can, obviously you don't want to, but if you have a sense that the player is going to be out for the game, then you can practice that week and, at least you know what you're practicing for. But, of course, it's the unexpected ones where guys practice all week and then they go out there in the game and then something happens and they're out. You're ready to replace them. I'm sure you've talked about and worked on that in every situation. But, like I said, when it's two of them. And, of course, special teams is a bigger problem because one player there is really four teams. So if you lose a guy, you're replacing them on kickoff return, punt return. So now sometimes it's the same player that replaces them, but I'd say probably more often than not, it's not. It's a combination of, these two guys are on this team, these two guys are on that team, that type of thing. So having been a special teams coach, I can tell you that, that's a scramble too, because then a lot of times that same player who now replaces that guy on special teams also has a greater role on offense or defense because of that person's injury, So, you're not replacing a corner on special teams with a linebacker. You're not replacing a running back with a receiver. It's, guys from that same type body build, skill set. So when you lose one of them in a kicking game, you have a small group of replacements, but there's stress on that position probably in other areas of the team too. So.
If I'm remembering correctly, you said you wanted Chris Jones twice before. You really looked at him for the draft, and then when he was initially released by Houston.
Well, we looked at everybody before the draft.
Well, I guess now that you said before you finally were able to get him.
Right, we tried to claim him at the 53 cut.
Right.
Yeah.
What is it specifically that, what qualities does he have that made him so appealing to you?
Well, I just think he was a good player, a good player in college. He's got good size. He's athletic. He's got some quickness. He's a smart player. He's got a good motor, plays hard. He's made a lot of, as we've already seen, he's made some, hustle, chase kind of plays, on screens and pursuit plays on the other side of the field. He runs well, and he plays with a good motor and good effort. So it's the same thing he did in college. He's worked really hard since he's been here. Obviously, he missed all the training camp. But when we came in, without all those training camp practice sessions, it's sort of hard to catch up on where everybody else is. But he's worked really hard to do that, both in the playbook and from a technique standpoint. I think a lot of the, some of the things that we do are definitely different than the way he was coached to do them at Houston or in Tampa, for that matter, for the time he was there. So he's had to adapt to some, different technique things and probably a little bit different scheme-wise as well, its responsibilities. But he's worked hard to learn that, and I'd say, you know, in a short amount of time, he's become a pretty dependable guy for us. I mean, when we, you know, call a defense, make a call, I think, you know, we all, players, coaches, have a pretty good confidence level that he's going to do the right thing because he's done it and he's picked it up, and he doesn't make the same mistake twice. So he's a hardworking kid that, you know, has some skills.
Is it a situation like, you know, Austin Colley said he spent a lot of extra time with Coach O'Shea, so he spent extra time with Patrick Graham?
Sure, with Pat, you know, Vince, you know, Tommy, those guys did a real good job with him. Of course, you know, not so much on the field now, but, you know, Chandler, Rob, and, of course, you know, Pat Graham, they spent a lot of time with him. And, you know, he and Joe have developed a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of experience playing with each other, communication and that type of thing. And even though it's on a very limited basis, you know, it's only, you know, a handful of games, but it's better. It's certainly improved, you know, over the last three or four games. And so, you know, hopefully we can, you know, keep that going. But those two guys have worked hard. They're trying to do the right thing. They're getting better, you know, every time they come off the practice field, each game, you know, they improve. They do things better than they did them before. And I think if they keep working hard and maintain that type of attitude and work ethic, that there's no reason why they shouldn't continue to improve. And as they play with each other a little bit more, hopefully they'll, you know, have a better communication and, you know, rapport with each other on the field as well.
So Rob Ninkovich said that he was able to tip Chandler Jones off against to that bootleg that Drew Brees was going to run because of film study. And how self-motivated is this defensive group with film study? How much have you had to kind of push them?
No, they're good. I mean, really, this is a good defensively. It's a good, hard-working group, and you know they've been together. I mean, other than Chris, but you know, for the most part, we've been together, you know, all year, and they do a good job of reminding each other of things like that in the secondary, the linebackers, and the defensive line. So things like that, like if I'm a defensive end, talking to the other defensive end about his responsibility, or if I'm a safety, reminding the other safety about, you know, certain patterns or formations that come out, you know, being alert for, you know, wildcat-type formations if they have that player in the game, or empty sets, or where the location of a certain player is, or which backs in the game, linebackers, like last week, the difference between, you know, Sproles and Thomas, as an example, was pretty significant. So, like, those kind of reminders and those kind of alerts are, you know, I think what a good defense does. They know their job, but they're also communicating with their teammates, and alerting them to things that come up by down and distance, by personnel, by formation. You know, and that's just awareness, good awareness on defense. So I think there's been a lot of good examples of that during the year. I mean, that was one that, you know, that Rob talked about that, you know, showed up at a key point in the game. But I think that there's been, you know, a number of those. I mean, who their go-to receiver is in certain situations, you know, who their deep receiver is, who, you know, screen alerts, things like that. There's that communication on defense is important to playing good defense, and I think overall this group's done a good job of, you know, trying to do that.
Well, how valuable has Stephen Guskowski been this year, and how important is it to have continuity in that position over the last 8 years in office?
Yeah, I think Steve's, you know, had a real solid camp and had a real solid year. You know, he's kicked off extremely well, not only distance, but, you know, even the hang time kicks. I mean, some of the balls that have been returned, you know, have had quite a bit of air under them, so we had a chance to cover him. You know, he's made a lot of big kicks for us, and, you know, he's given us a lot of dependability there at that position, even though we've had some transition with the punter and the snapper over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. But, you know, Steve's very focused. He's got a lot of mental toughness. He doesn't let other things bother him. He just tries to do his job, and he's done it pretty well. So he's, you know, and he's a good, and he's a solid football player too. I mean, we've all been around a lot of specialists, but, you know, his mentality is more of, you know, competitive athlete, you know, baseball player, and, you know, now football player. But You know, I'm sure he's been in a lot of competitive situations, and he just, you know, makes tackles on the kickoff team and you know, works out in the off-season program with the regular position players and, you know, competes well with them. So, you know, he's a good, solid guy on our team, and he does very well at his position. But I think he has the respect of everybody in that locker room based on his, you know, day-to-day performance. He's always ready to work. He always does a good job putting the team first. You know, he's a good teammate, good person, and good player.
So how do you know when a guy who's relatively new to the system here, like Austin Colley, is ready to be in a game day situation? Is it just from what you see at practice or conversations that you have with him?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because there are always things that, no matter how many walkthroughs, meetings, film sessions, conversations you go over with somebody, there's things that happen in the game that you don't cover, or they happen a little bit differently. And so when are they ready? I mean, they're never 100% ready, you know, but there's a difference between being, you know, ready and when you put the person in there and feel like, well, they just, you know, there's just too many things that can and probably will go wrong because they're just not prepared enough for those. We know there's going to be one or two things that are going to come up that, you know, we haven't covered. They're just going to have to react to and hope it's the right thing. But, you know, I'd say in Austin's case that the first week, he was probably, you know, we probably could have played him. You know, I don't know. I mean, he certainly worked hard. He's a smart guy. But I would say that there was a lot of growth from week one to week two. And I think we all felt, myself, Josh, Chad, you know, the quarterbacks, that there was just, you know, that he was much further along the second week. He'd heard it the second time. He'd repped it more. you know, he was more familiar with the terms and things like that, even though in the Jet game, you know, we were in more of a no-huddle offense. And, you know, the week before against Cincinnati, we were more of calling the plays in the huddle. But regardless, he just, you know, seemed quicker, had fewer questions, was more confident, played quicker, played faster. So I think it's a combination of all those things. It's seeing it on the practice field, certainly. But it's also, you know, when you ask questions in the classroom or go through it, that, you know, that the player can respond to them quickly and with confidence, and you know he knows it. You know, sometimes giving the right answer isn't really comforting because you just don't have any confidence that it's really the right, you know, it's maybe it's a 50-50 guess, or maybe they say it but you're not sure if they're sure, whereas there's other times when you feel sure. And crossing that bridge, which I don't know if I'm really answering the question, but it's, you know, it's kind of a judgment thing, but crossing that bridge is, you know, I think once you're across it, you feel like, okay, we're, you know, pretty confident he's got it. Yeah, there's gonna be one or two things, but I mean, we have experienced players that one or two things might come up and, you know, they could make a mistake on them. So, but I think from week one to week two that we saw a definite, you know, much more solid player in terms of communication, understanding, decision-making, reactions, and, you know, hopefully that'll continue. But it's a fine line. And the answer to that question, what it looks like on Wednesday, what it looks like on Thursday, what it looks like on Friday, maybe even what it looks like on Saturday, sometimes changes with a new player. You know, sometimes it crystallizes and it becomes more solid. And sometimes as you go from first and second down to third down to red area to 2 minute, that it unravels, if you will. You know, the wheel spins faster, and what they had on Wednesday, they've now, I don't want to say forgotten, but maybe gotten confused with some of the things that have come up on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so, you know, a lot of times you really don't know the answer to how that's going to come out until, you know, you get the full body of work in and can make a better decision. But I've seen it go both ways. I've seen guys come in first day on Wednesday and saying like, okay, this guy's got it. And then by Saturday, it's, wow, what he had on Wednesday, that's all running together with all the other stuff, and vice versa. You know, sometimes it looks bad on Wednesday and it looks very good on Thursday, but by Friday and Saturday, you know, somehow after multiple reps and multiple meetings and all that, that it finally, you know, it settles in and it makes sense. So it's certainly a very individualized type of call. I don't think there's any book on that. You just got to try to figure it out the best you can. So, okay. All right. Thanks.